Welcome to the Water from the Rock podcast, where you get a fresh drink for life. This is Tyler Robbins from Calvary Baptist Church welcoming you. And with me as always is my dad, Pastor Tim Robbins.
How you doing?
And my assistant, Levi.
Hello.
So last week we were talking a little bit about our pastor's past and how he knew when he's supposed to follow the gospel and what happened when he didn't. And maybe we should talk more, a little more about those stories here in the near future.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to share a few more testimonies. One of the things that a preacher told me one time, he had heard me share a few testimonies. He said, "You have one of the most interesting pasts I think I've ever heard of anybody." He said, "Only you, it seems like, could have some of those strange situations." You know, I mean, how many people you know lose bank deposits for Walmart and flunk lie detector tests and roll cars down levees and things of that nature. So I'd like to share a lot more of those things in the future. And every so often, I'd like to do that if we could.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I think that'd be really good for our people to know. Anybody listening, I think it's really good for them to be able to see kind of how you can tell the inclination of spirit in your life.
Well, sometimes it's good to know truth and to learn truth, but whenever it's illustrated, then it clicks, or you can relate to maybe it's not a bank deposit that you lost, but then you're going through a crisis where it's something similar and you're afraid everything's going to fall apart. Then you see, oh, well, God was trying to get my attention to do this for me. Maybe God's trying to get their attention, you know, to do something. So it's sometimes I think those illustrations, they kind of breathe a little bit of life into truth. Not that truth needs life added to it, but I mean, makes it a little bit more, kind of opens the window a little bit better, where you can see a little bit better, I should say.
So. Absolutely, and I think so too. And to me, I think a lot of the times when we talk about these stories, it helps me understand how to watch for God, how to watch for what I'm supposed to be doing, and how to see the inclination of spirit in my life. Sometimes it's kind of hard for me to see.
Sure, absolutely, you know, it's just like I said, every so often I'd like to do that, and just be a blessing to people, and here sometimes it's, to me, one of my favorite things whenever I listen to a preacher preach is to them to share an illustration either from their life or from the Bible that really just makes that truth,
real.
It just makes it real, makes it more, for me to be able to grasp it, and so I've always kind of been an animated person, and you know, children's church from a young age, doing children's church as a young man, and you pretty much just tell the Bible story and draw out a truth in it, and things of that nature. So,
exactly, I don't know. I think for me, watching people have those things happen, it's not just truth illustrated. It helps me see that it's really real, seeing how somebody else has lived those truths.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's inspiring to me, I guess would be the way to put it.
Sure.
But anyway, we're not going to tell another story today as much as I'd like to. If you ever have a story you want to hear, feel free to message us. If you hear my dad reference one and you want to hear that story, we'd be glad to tell that story sometime on the air. But today I want to talk a little bit more about something that's a little bit more not necessarily controversial, but maybe something that's kind of misunderstood or
very confusing.
Very confusing,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the issue of the law. You know, there's a lot of question about whether we're under the law or under grace and so forth. So let's just go ahead and dive on into this. Pastor, let me ask you this first. What exactly, whenever someone refers to the law or legalism, what is that?
Well, there's so much to just even, we could do a whole podcast on just defining
absolutely
the law. And it's a very, very deep subject and that. But basically, legalism by true definition is where you believe that you can be good enough so where you can and be righteous enough to please God. And so basically, if you keep the rules of the Bible, or you do the things God commands, or you abstain from the things God tells you abstains from, that you feel like God would be pleased enough to where now you can be received by Him, you'll be blessed by Him, you'll basically go to heaven through that, and that's a work salvation.
And you can't do that at all.
No, not at all. And so there's legalism. When people say, oh, that church is legalistic or whatever, usually they don't know what they're talking about in those situations. However, I understand what they're trying to say. And we'll address that as well. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, I remember hearing people accusing other people of being legalistic or whenever they would have not, you know, like a higher standard or would try to abstain from something. They'd be like,
sure.
Oh, you're such a legalist.
Sure, absolutely.
So that's not what that means.
No, not really. Okay. And when you come to the law, you have to kind of go back and listen, for all the folks that are listening out there, It used to be common language in a church to talk about the new covenant and the old covenant and things of that nature. But that's old-timey stuff. But a lot of people have gotten away from that. And I think because of that, therefore they become, you know, to be honest with you, it's easy to become a little more... I don't know, say liberal would be the right word, but to get off base maybe. A little bit off base of the scripture. And you got to be careful with that. That's a very foundational thing. And so, and I do apologize. We all got colds going on around here and we've been sick and stuff. But hear a lot of sniveling and stuff going on,
I'm at the back end, so I just have a really raspy voice. Yeah. You're in the middle.
Yeah, thank you. And
miserable, but, I know.
Anyway, though, but yeah, I definitely want to address that subject because I think what we have today is this: is you have one group that says we're free of the law, but because of that, they feel like they can do whatever they want to do, and therefore they're in bondage to sin. You got the other group that they're free of sin because they try to live righteously, are, you know, for the most part not in bondage to it, but they're bound to the law because they think they have to keep the law, and so therefore the results of this is you have two groups that are simply in bondage that don't need to be because you should be free of both.
And they're just on the two extremes pointing fingers at each other.
That's exactly what they are. Growing up, a Southern saying that my mom used to always say, and it's an old Southern saying, that's the pot calling the kettle black, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And really, in essence, what they're trying to say is this one person is this way and this other person's this way, and they're both the same way,
hypocritical.
Very much so. Very much so. And so I think there's it's just a delicate balance. And what happens is the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. So what happens is the pride in us hates the pride in others. Yeah. So my pride automatically can't stand the fact that that person over there is being liberal or that person's being so legalistic, mm-hmm. And it just drives me crazy. So I become contentious with them, or they become contentious with me. And that's not the how Christ worked. So, the overall, though, the goal is to kind of understand really what Jesus was trying to teach us and share with that. And Paul addresses quite a bit of that in the book of Romans, of course, 1 Corinthians and stuff.
Which is primarily like love. And although there is rules that should be followed, I mean, it's all about coming clean and going to Jesus, correct?
Yes, it is. It's not about rules to be followed. It's really about the law that you're under, okay? And so let me kind of explain here how the Old Testament covenant worked, I'm going to give you,
a basic synopsis.
Yeah, three or four Bible college classes, for a whole year, basically a whole year's worth of Bible college on the law in about 30 seconds here. But really what happened was this, is the Old Testament, God had made a covenant with his people. And the word testament also means covenant. Okay, so when you have your Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, you have Old Covenant, New Covenant. You understand?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And so he made a covenant with his people, which were the Jews. And excuse me, and that was through the law of Moses. And there with Moses, he had kind of given him a number of laws. And whenever he got done, basically the whole law could be summed up in this, do and I'll bless you, and don't do so you can, avoid or whatever.
Yeah.
Really, it's summed up in this, and that's blessing and cursing. He said, I set before you blessing and cursing this day. And so they had to choose whether, and here's what would happen is this, if they kept the law and they chose to be good, then blessing would come. And the results were, is God's goodness, kind of flowed to him. Mm-hmm. And so basically he was saying, I set before you blessing and cursing. You have to choose whether you want blessing or whether you want cursing.
And it's always a choice, even today.
Yeah, it is, and kind of an extent. But here's the thing is a lot of people misunderstand this, and this is where a lot of confusion comes, is now are we underneath the law? And so you have some groups that say, oh, we're not under the law anymore. Then what would be the purpose of not having the Old Testament even there?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, God gives us the law, and the law is there for a purpose. And God, whenever he gave that law to Israel, he knew that they couldn't keep it. Of course, they agreed to it. They said, oh, yeah, we can do that. Well, I don't know about you, but I have tried to be good, and I just can't be good.
No.
And it's within our sin nature to not be good.
Yeah, those basically, I can't count how many times a day I fail in what things I know I shouldn't be failing in, or I get angry, or, you know, and I can't be good.
Oh, man, no kidding. And no matter how many times, and so I think sometimes the mentality of people is, well, I was good most of the time, you know, or I kept the law 8 times out of 10. And
yeah, but do you really want to go back and count?
Yeah, exactly. Most of the time that's not the case, but in our minds we think it is. And that, again, is the deception, how the enemy works. But basically, though, so you have the old covenant that was given, and the Bible says that the purpose of that covenant was given is really to show us our sin. It was our schoolmaster. It was really there to show you that you were in error, to show you that you couldn't keep the covenant.
You say, show your fail.
Mm-hmm. And Paul called it his headmaster, a schoolmaster, and to show you that basically you were going to sin. Now, here's the problem, though, is the law doesn't fail. It doesn't pass away. Jesus said, do you think I come to destroy the law? He said, no. He said, come to fulfill it. Exactly. And I know I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. And see, the law can't pass away. And so let me kind of give a definition here. A law is something that has been searched and tried and proven to be true all the time. It's never untrue. It's always true. Okay? And so, therefore, you can never take back the law. Matter of fact, Jesus said the entire heaven and earth would pass away before one jot or tittle of the law would pass away. And that would be kind of the equivalent of like an apostrophe or a period or dotting an I or crossing a T in our language today.
So just incredibly minute things, yep, that people wouldn't even usually miss.
You know? Yeah, you wouldn't even notice that was gone if somebody's writing a letter and you didn't notice that they didn't dot an I or something. And so the Bible says that heaven and earth would pass away before you even think that part of the law could pass away. So the law is something that has to be maintained all the time. It's something that has to be done or has to be kept, and so it's not something that God's going to take away. And so therefore, everybody's underneath the law. Everybody's underneath kind of an Old Testament covenant, so to speak. However, though, the one good thing that we do learn is this is in the New Testament. Jesus made a new covenant, and that covenant came in his blood. Right, so the testator had to die before the covenant could be fulfilled, and so when you made a covenant, there had to be a shedding of blood. You go back to Abraham, and Abraham slew a couple of animals there, and the blood was in between them, and of course God passed between them.
And this ties completely into like what you've been talking a little bit about this in your Sunday school class about the law of death and once again the law of course keeping the law
of the spirit. Yeah,
the law of the spirit. You've been talking a lot about that, and can you just real quick here to tie it in, would you be willing to share with us a little bit about the law of death just real quick?
Yeah, and basically, like I said, the Lord had, you know, when you made a covenant, there had to be the shedding of blood, and so Jesus comes along because we're underneath the old covenant, we're underneath the old law, and of course the Jews were. Death, then, the Bible says that the law is good. The law's not bad. It's good. But the work of the law, the Bible says the law worketh death.
Do you think a lot of people used to see the law as an enemy?
Well, maybe. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people don't like, you know, we go to that church because they got, you know, they're so old-fashioned, and we don't, you know, maybe it's something of that nature. They see it as, oh, their standards are too high or something of that nature. And so maybe in that case. But here's the problem is the law is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem we have with the law is this, is we just can't keep it. And whenever you can't keep it, then you get discouraged and you feel really beat up and you feel very bad about yourself. Or if you got a pride problem, you feel like it's unfair. Like, for example, if the government passes a law and it says, all right, everybody that makes $25,000 a year has to now pay a 50% tax on their income above what they normally pay. Now, how many people would go, well, that's fair, I just don't have it because I'm a worthless individual and I can't work and make more than $60,000, $70,000 a year to live off of this? Most of us wouldn't say that. What would be our first cry? That's not fair. We can't keep that.
Absolutely.
And there are a lot of people today that their attitude is that of, well, God, you're not fair to expect that of us. I mean, that's not right. And what kind of God does those things and that sort of thing? And so we're that. And so here's the problem is law works death. And when law works death, the results are is this, is that you're stuck under that. You're stuck to that. There's nothing that can overtake that. Nothing can change that. Or excuse me, nothing can change that. But there is something that can overtake it. you can't, like, for example, in the Old Testament there, whenever Daniel's thrown in the lion's den and the Medo-Persians had a law that couldn't be changed. I believe it was the Medo-Persians had a law that couldn't be changed. God's law can't be changed because it's true all the time. It's true all the time. So it can't be changed. But there is a law that can supersede it. I was teaching this on, I think, last Wednesday night in church, that, like, for example, we have a law in our science today. It's called the law of gravity. If you have something in the air and you drop it, whatever goes up must come down, you know, so it's going to fall down. And for the most part, everything falls, you know, about the same rate of speed, you know, give or take, obviously, some science on the deal, the weights of things and that. But, you know, a bowling ball falls fast as a baseball will, you know, as far as same speed. And density obviously plays a lot into that. But anyway, though, but when you drop something, it has to fall. So if I'm sitting underneath something and it drops, it's going to land on me. Okay. However, though, if somebody reaches out their hand and catches it so it doesn't land on me, the law still was fulfilled.
Yeah.
But another law superseded that law.
Yeah,
superseded it. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus does. He comes along, and the law says you've got to die because the wages of sin is death. Okay, and you've broken the law, so therefore you must die. But Jesus comes along, and he takes your place by superseding that law, and he himself allows the law to be fulfilled. He even says he fulfills it himself. He becomes the righteous Lamb of God, or he is the righteous Lamb of God. He becomes the sacrifice for us, the Lamb for us, to take our place. And now we have another law that's introduced called the law of the Spirit of life in Romans 8:2. Now, when you get saved, when you accept Christ as your Savior, what he did for you, you're underneath the old law, but when you come to Christ, that law now you're free of.
Really?
No longer are you bound to anything in the Old Testament law whatsoever. You're no longer bound to that.
Really?
Yep. You're underneath the new law, though. That law is the law of the Spirit of life. Now, this can go a whole about, you know, as my mom used to say, 40-11 directions, okay? And we could literally do many podcasts on just talking on this. But
they wrote a whole testament of the Bible about it. I mean,
yeah. And but what I want to do is I want to just address a couple of things here. Now, let me say this, though. Whenever you're underneath the law of the Spirit, now the Holy Spirit is going to, he's breathed life into you, and he's going to continue to breathe life into you constantly. The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning and things of that nature. Every day, the Holy Spirit is breathing life in you because he wants to make you more like Jesus. He doesn't want you to be in bondage because he says, be holy for I am holy. Now, of course, holy means to be separated, not just to be perfect, okay?
Absolutely.
Be like chosen or separated or marked or set apart.
Not to throw a wrench in where you're going on this, I just want to ask a quick question.
Sure.
I know it's a silly question, but just for clarification purposes, whenever you leave the spirit of the law, leave the law whenever you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you are now underneath the law of life, the old law worked death. This law does not work death, correct?
No, it can only work life.
So it doesn't necessarily condemn. It may reprove, but it doesn't condemn.
Exactly, because Romans 8:1 says there therefore is, and I can't quote it, there's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Lord in Christ Jesus and walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now, here's the thing, this is the Spirit of God works continual life because he is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And it's his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Bible calls it. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ now working continual life. Just as Jesus was right there next to you, now he's living inside of you in his Spirit. And he's working continual life, just like he did his disciples. However, though, whenever you're going to be like Christ, whenever the Holy Spirit's going to make you like Jesus, he is going to lead you to keep his law, but not in the same sense that the Old Testament way. Not to please God, not to do the things that, but to be like him. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't destroy it. He still kept things of the law, but you're not bound to the law. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Do you think anybody else could have ever fulfilled the law?
Nobody could fulfill the law. Only Jesus was perfect that could do that because he was God in the flesh. He's the author of the law. You know, he's the Word. He's the living Word. And so he's the only one. And now, whenever you get the law of the Spirit of life, you got to live by that. And so you've heard me teach, Tyler and, yeah. and Levi, you've heard me teach this. There are three parts to man. Man's in a trinity, mm-hmm. okay? And the trinity of man is body, soul, and spirit. All right. Whenever the Spirit of God, whenever you get saved, there's a part of you that's empty. Okay? There's a part of you that in life is empty and desires God because you feel dead inside. There's a part of you.
And usually people try to fill it with other things, right?
Yeah, they do. They try to fulfill it with all kinds of things, you know, loves and drugs and money and whatever, you know, whatever caters to our desires. Now that spot there was made specifically for the Holy Spirit.
And so you really can't fill it.
Yeah, only the Holy Spirit can go there, you know, or fulfill it.
Do you think a prime indicator of that spot that the Holy Spirit is supposed to fill and it's empty would be, say, happiness or joy? Some people just can't attain happiness without the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's the thing is the indicator is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, sir?
Is that also why when someone gets saved, they experience a feeling of happiness and joy because they finally found the right spot?
Absolutely.
Or found the right, solution?
Well, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they found the Holy Spirit, the solution. Exactly. Exactly. And so here's the thing is this. As man is a trinity, the Spirit of God comes to live in your spirit, and the Bible says he quickens you, which means to make alive. And like you said, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance and long-suffering and all those things we've read about in Galatians, okay?
Self-control.
Yeah, exactly, and all the things that we so desperately need. Now, whenever that happens, though, your body, your flesh, the Bible says it's a body of death. Now, death is simply weakness at completion, okay? All death is weakness completed. It's weakness finished. And so you've been given a body because of sin that is completely weak before God. Therefore, it can never be alive enough to please God because it's dead. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
And so you're completely dead in the body. You say, wait a minute, my body's still breathing. Yes, absolutely. But I'm talking about spiritually, the body is dead, not physically. Okay? And whenever that happens is now God wants to... Basically, the flesh can never be made righteous. That's why we're given a new body at the resurrection. However, though, what he wants to do, though, is he wants us to yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness to him. Basically, just as like I would come over to your house and say, here, Tyler, here's the tool that you wanted to borrow from me. I hope you use it for good. And it's a hammer, okay? And so you borrow, which I know you got 411 hammers out there, but I'm just saying you borrow a hammer from me. Now, I assume you're going to use it to nail some boards together, do some construction work. I don't think you're going to chase the neighborhood cat around and try to kill it with, or the neighborhood around, you know, some neighbor around with a hammer and try to hit him with it. Because
just
that would,
you, I use it to dig.
So, but I assume that you're going to use it for righteous things and not unrighteous things. So God says we're to bring our bodies to the Lord and give it to him to use as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. And now, here's the thing is this, as we said, man is a trinity, body, soul, and spirit, all right? The Spirit of God lives the Spirit of God lives in our spirit, and our body, of course, is not good, but our soul, though, that's where the real battleground for our life is, because whoever has control of the soul has control of the body, and this is the reason why the Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary in Galatians. Yep. Now, the soul is made up of a trinity, and it's mind, will, and emotions. It's your thought life, it's your feelings, and it's your will. Okay, and everybody understands that how you think determines how you feel.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Yep, and how you feel is how you behave or how you act. So we've addressed that a number of times in teaching and spiritual warfare and that kind of thing. And we've been given, a lot. I've given a lot of hearing, you know, on podcasts and stuff talking about that. But here's the thing is when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. Not only does he give you a new thought life and a new emotional life, he also gives you a new will. Okay, that will desires to do good. It desires to please God. It desires to be like him. However, though, you want to read your Bible, you want to go to church, you want to tithe, you want to do kind things for others, you just want to talk about the Lord Jesus, that's your new will. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so whenever that happens, you get this new will. If you don't know how to live by the Spirit of life, then here's what happens is you start not able to fulfill it. What we do is we live by our own willpower. And unfortunately, your willpower will never be enough because eventually the law of sin and death take back over.
And it kind of just drains you, right?
Yeah, because whenever you start doing things in your own on your own power and your own abilities, when that happens, now the Holy Spirit of God is not in charge of your life and he's not working. Rather, you're working. And so it's kind of like the little boy who's trying to lift something, and the dad can lift it, but he can't. So the dad says, here, son, let me do it. And he goes, no, dad. And he keeps trying, and he keeps trying, and he keeps trying. That's what we're doing. We're trying to do something that only God can do. But we just keep trying and keep trying, and eventually we're going to waste away our whole entire life, or we're going to miss our opportunities in life.
Do you think that's why a lot of Christians struggle with anger or depression or feeling unfulfilled?
Yeah, absolutely. They don't let God fight the battle.
It seems like it's a huge problem, especially when you look at like Christian divorce rates, Christian suicide rates.
It's a great indication that we're living by our own strength and we're living what we would by the flesh. See, what we think of today, when somebody says, oh, that person's in the flesh, what do you mean by that? Because, I mean, sometimes we say that because we know that their standards aren't that great or something of that nature. That's about as absurd could be.
Yeah.
That's as shallow could be.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who live, you know.
People, great standards, who live in the flesh because they're doing it on their own.
And there's people who live with, you'd think that they were just, you know, at a crack house or something, but they truly love the Lord and they're wanting to
serve. Yeah, the direction is pointed right away. Absolutely.
You're just kind of assuming.
Absolutely. And so, and here's where a lot of Christians really just get so off base, is the Spirit of God now is trying to establish and teach them and guide them to live by his power, his faith. Okay? You remember the Lord Jesus, or Paul said this about the Lord Jesus in Galatians 2:20, he said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in him, but faith of him. He's saying, I don't have the faith to do it, but Jesus does.
Exactly.
I don't have the faith to overcome this problem, but Jesus has it, so I need to live by that faith. And so that's where it comes to, like Paul was talking about the law of the Spirit of life. What you're doing now is this, is you're drawing on the power of the life of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he comes to you with life, and his life is abundant life. It's overcoming life. It's life that makes all death flee. You understand?
Absolutely.
He makes all death flee because why? He is life. So whenever you make the decision to yield to the Spirit of God and say, God, I can't do this thing. Lord, I don't have the faith to do it. God, I don't have the strength to do it. I'm just going to give it to you, and I'm going to trust you to do it, and I'm going to just let you work. And God does it. Just like the other night, I gave the example about how that I couldn't break those, or couldn't fix the things on the, break the wheels loose on the tire of the truck. And I told the Lord, I said, well, Lord, this is your problem. You just take care of it. And then all of a sudden, you and Noah showed up, and you guys did all the hard work for me. And that was the easiest, fastest brake job I ever did in my entire life.
Yeah.
And didn't have to pay somebody to do it. And so that's kind of really how that works. And so, really, are we underneath the law? We're underneath the law of the Spirit now. And this is a law of love. This is a law of life. Or we can choose to try to do things in the flesh, and when we do, we put ourselves back underneath the law of the Old Testament. But God doesn't see you as underneath the law of the Old Testament, but the devil does. And so therefore, now we constantly deal with constant attacks of condemnation.
I feel like God's constantly angry with us.
Yeah, and it's not true, but that's just the deception of the enemy. Because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God says, hey, listen, I was satisfied whenever you put your faith in the blood of my Son. I'm not angry with you anymore. You're in me, and I in you. Okay. However, though, because you try to live by the law and try to do things to please God on your own, the devil now, you kind of put yourself out there. Now he can attack you, and he condemns you. And here's what he does. He uses the world. He uses his thoughts, whatever, and he's constantly kind of a barrage of attack on you, and you'll start thinking it's God, and it's not.
When do you think the attack for a believer starts?
As soon as they get saved.
As soon as you open your eyes.
As soon as you get saved, and then it'll listen, the devil's attacking you even while you're sleeping. So, but here's the thing: is the Bible says that the shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts. You know, and so if you're living by the faith of the Lord Jesus, then there's an attack going on. You just don't even know it. You know, it's kind of like being in a underground in a subway, and somebody says, "Oh, it's storming outside." You don't know. You're underground in the subway. You don't know. You know,
unaware, yep.
Unaware of what's going on. You don't know whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, unless you had a watch. But I'm just saying, though, you don't know whether it's light or dark out, it's storming, whether it's snowing, whatever, because you're underground. You're not aware, and that's what you are in the Spirit of God when you're living by the life of the Spirit. And you put your faith in Him, and you're resting in that. You know what? I'm just going to trust You. Then you're protected.
Absolutely.
And so the only thing you might suffer from that time period is something that God may order up directly for you, but that's because He's teaching you to yield other areas of your life.
Absolutely. And if I've ever been able to see something, it seems like in your life you've had to learn that a lot, yielding different things.
I was one of those people that I had a lot of righteous standards outwardly, but I was in the flesh inwardly constantly. Mm-hmm. And so I had to learn the hard way. As my uncle used to always say, I graduated from the school of hard knocks. So.
Absolutely, and I understand where you're coming from. I'm there too. Well, we're actually running out of time here, so I want to go ahead and wind this down. Thank you very much for coming today, sharing this with us, Pastor.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure. I do also want to thank Levi for coming in today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Anyway, real quick here before we end, if you have any questions or if you have any testimonies or if you're needing any help, feel free to reach out to us. My Twitter account, you can message me directly, and I'll pass it right along to our pastor if we need to, is at Tyler Robbins. It's spelled TylerRobbins. You can also reach us at our Yahoo email account, fundamentalbaptist@yahoo.com. You can reach out to me through my personal email account. That's robbinsman25@gmail.com. You can reach us through our website, bytheblood.org. And if I could recommend to you, there is a lot of content there that you can download for free. A lot of messages that we've preached in our church. It's completely free. Go on there. Find some help for you. We had a really good one go through about hope. We've actually passed that one out, I want to say, probably 50 times. Our pastor's Twitter account, if you'd like to message him, you can. It's at TimAmy21, TimAmy21. Can't miss it. That's my dad's personal Twitter account. A lot of updates for the pastor and his family and the church. Anyway, if you do want just to give us a call, our phone number is 641-228-5362. If you wanted to write us a letter, our church address is 703 Milwaukee Street, Charles City, Iowa, 50616. And here before we just end the podcast today, I do want to remind you guys, we are giving away this free mug. Feel free to enter. You can make a comment on Podbean, comment on YouTube. You could message me on Twitter or email us, and you can just send us your name. And that'll count as an entry. Feel free to do that. We're giving away for free. The drawing will be April 1st, so this will be the last week. We're going to the last weekend that you can enter for this free mug. We will probably do another drawing here real soon, but for this one, if you want the first one, kind of the prototype, now's the time to get into this. All right, so anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening, and I hope this has really been a blessing to you. I really enjoyed it. Remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.